Well, we all like a David versus Goliath story, one where the little guy takes on the giants and wins. Our next guest isn't exactly little, not in terms of his professional career anyway. Bruce Guthrie's 4 decades in newspaper journalism has included editorships of the Melbourne Age newspaper, the Sunday Age, the Weekend Australian magazine, Who Weekly, and the Melbourne Herald Sun, including stints along the way as a journalist, as a foreign correspondent for some organisations. But he did take on Rupert Murdoch's News Limited, the Australian arm of the world's biggest media company, when he successfully sued his former employer this year over his brutal sacking as editor-in-chief of the Herald Sun newspaper in 2008. Bruce Guthrie has now written a book about the saga, giving it, well, I think, witty title, Man Bites Murdoch, 4 decades in print, 6 days in court. Bruce Guthrie joins us from our Melbourne studio now. Bruce, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Thanks very much.
It's a terrific title, Man Bites Murdoch, a play on a famous quote from a New York Sun editor about what makes news, right?
That's right, and I have to thank my 16-year-old son for the title. He came up with it.
Oh, terrific. Why did you think it worked for your story?
Well, I was playing around with Man Bites Dog, which is the John Bogart quote from, as you said, the New York Sun, the early part of the 20th century, and I couldn't quite get it to work because it couldn't just be Man Bites Dog, and I was on the way to Saturday Morning Sport one day with my son Scott, and he said, what about Man Bites Murdoch? And I almost drove off the road. I thought, my God, he's got it. So he might be a journalist himself.
Maybe. Taking on Rupert Murdoch and winning made news, that's for sure. In May this year, a Supreme Court judge ruled that news did breach your contract when it dismissed you as editor-in-chief of the Melbourne Herald Sun, and you were awarded damages of more than $500,000. But you say in the book it wasn't about money in the end. So why did you decide to embark on a fairly risky path of taking on this media giant? If you'd lost, you would have been ruined financially, I presume.
Absolutely. Well, I think at the end of the day, I mean, I've been a journalist for 40 years, I've been an editor for 20, and one of the things that I've always carried into any conversation with staff members or superiors, whatever, is that you want people to leave the room feeling that they were respected. I mean, even if you're giving them the worst possible news, you know, like, I'm sorry, but we have to, you know, make you redundant. I think there was a total lack of respect and news treatment of me. I mean, just weeks before I was sacked in November 2008, we'd won the Pampa Newspaper of the Year. We'd won the News Limited website of the year. I'd been given bonuses, pay rises. I naively was sitting down discussing with my family whether I would sign on for another 3 years or another 5 years. And then I was just called in one day and sacked. And even though I've been through this extraordinary court case, I still don't really know why I was sacked. And I think one of the issues that will arise from the book, which begins and ends with those events, it begins with the sacking and ends with the court case, but in between there's 25 years of newspaper history, beginning with the Murdoch takeover of the Herald and Weekly Times in 1986, 1987. And I think, you know, I just decided that at my age, I was old enough and ugly enough to go, you know what, you can't treat people like this. So we took them to court and we won.
I think it's clear in the book that you're still struggling with why you were sacked, and there's lots of excuses given in the court and in the book as to why you fell foul of your bosses, a breakdown perhaps in the relationship between you and the managing director, Peter Blunden, the suggestion you got Rupert Murdoch's sister, the Herald and Weekly Times chairman Janet Calvert-Jones, offside after you pursued her good friend, former Victorian Police Commissioner Christine Nixon, in the newspaper about a junket that Christine Nixon had taken. After all of this, you still say you're not really clear why you were sacked. You must have some kind of understanding of this.
Well, I have theories. I have
theories,
Fran. Well, my theories are that, yes, it was probably predominantly a personality clash between me and the new managing director, who was also my predecessor as editor. I think that at a more senior level, I think there was some discontent over my treatment of Christine Nixon, which I thought was absolutely appropriate, and we were just sort of giving her a chance to explain why she was taking junkets to Los Angeles with Qantas. And things started to go awry almost from the moment we splashed with that story. I think we splashed with the story on October 23, 2008, and I was gone 2 weeks later.
It's hard to understand how that one story could end your career. As you say, you've been doing quite well. Was it just something about the culture? You say in the book you told the veteran Canberra journalist Laurie Oakes, as way of explanation, I got the job right, but the politics wrong. What did you mean?
And I think that's a fatal error at News Limited. Well, I think that at News Limited, and this is for others to discuss and judge, but my experience of News Limited, I spent the last 5 years of my career there, was that there are virtually no processes. News Limited is a very outcomes-focused company. So because there's no processes, you end up with things like the phone hacking scandal in Britain that they're sort of fighting against now. You end up with the storm, the Melbourne Storm salary cap rotting in Melbourne, and I guess you end up with my court case, because they're not big on sort of crossing T's and dotting I's. They're just interested in outcomes. And I think that at some point, my dismissal coincided with Rupert Murdoch's annual arrival, which is usually around late October, and within days of him arriving, I was gone. So I suspect that it was one part personality clash, one part I probably pursued the wrong person, and one part Rupert Murdoch just sort of felt in the mood to get rid of me, and he's a bit like that.
Well, you're pretty scathing about what makes a successful Murdoch man. You write in the book, quote, "The most highly regarded people at News are little more than Murdoch robots programmed to consider him first and the issue second." You also say the people Rupert prizes most are the ones who might struggle to rise in other organisations, even better if they know it. But you decided to return to the Murdoch stable after having worked there in the 80s. If it was such a toxic place to work, why did you accept the offer to be editor of the Herald Sun?
It's a good question. It's probably the $64 million question, Fran. I'd first worked for Rupert in the mid to late 80s when he took over the Herald and Weekly Times, and by virtue of being taken over, I was suddenly working for him. I had a lunch with him in Los Angeles where he basically recruited me, and that's recounted in the book. I then left and had pretty much 2 decades at Fairfax and Time Inc. magazines, and then News Limited approached me again in, I think it was 2003, and asked me to come back to do the Weekend Australian magazine. By that stage, John Hardigan was in the chair, and I liked and respected John, and I had 3 very happy years in Sydney. And I guess it was only when I really rose to the very most senior positions in the company, that is editing their biggest selling daily, that I began to see this other side of the company. And it was only then that I guess I started to feel a little uneasy, and then by the time I sort of realised, the boom had been lowered, as it were. So, look,
but this notion that, you know, the most highly regarded people are little more than Murdoch robots programmed to consider him first and the issue second. How did Rupert Murdoch, for instance, ever have anything to say to you as editor of the Herald Sun about the editorial direction of the newspaper?
No, he didn't. And I think what I'm saying there is that the long-serving Murdoch men, and they're mainly men, it's a boys' club, their first thought is, what will Rupert think of this? Whether it's a story, whether it's a decision taken to launch a new section, whether it's a leader, you know, on election eve, it's almost instinctive.
Second-guessing the boss,
and it flows from there. So, you know, you second-guess Rupert, then you second-guess John Hardigan, you second-guess, you know, the corporate partners. Is this going to upset anyone? And then once you've cleared all those hurdles, you go for the story.
Yes, but is there any indication that the boss actually is noticing this or cares, really?
Well, the boss is on the record, and I quote him from an interview with Esquire magazine published a couple of years ago, where he says, "Talent is not the main thing when he chooses people. Loyalty is the main thing, an absolute unyielding loyalty." And I think that is what drives News Limited and the News Limited culture. And when you come into it from outside, at best it's like a small town mentality. Oh, you're new, you're not from around here, are you? And there's a kind of a suspicion. And at worst it's almost like a secret society. If you're not part of the family, it's very, very hard to break in. And I guess that's what I suffered from.
Okay, so if you're a long-time Fairfax employee, you're not part of the family.
Well, I suspect that that's part of the problem, that, you know, I'd come pretty much indirectly from Fairfax, and maybe I was always seen as a Fairfax person. But I think News Limited need to address these cultural problems, because it's the 21st century, and I don't think you can sort of run a business now without sort of due process and without sort of dotting those I's and crossing those T's.
Well, there's been a fair bit of comment around lately about the alleged partisan nature of News's coverage of the recent federal election campaign. Pro-coalition and anti-Labor is the tenor of the commentary. In your book, you write that you believe the Australians' campaign against Kevin Rudd as Prime Minister had been relentless and unbalanced. Do you think, in your view, is this sort of relentless and unbalanced coverage, to your terms, dictated by Rupert Murdoch himself?
Well, look, it's probably a decision taken internally at The Australian. I mean, I think The Australian has positioned itself very carefully and probably very intelligently. I mean, it's looked at the other broadsheets like the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, and they've thought, well, they kind of occupy a small L liberal or probably centre-left position, so there's no point in being in those positions. So we're going to become conservative. And I think at some point Chris Mitchell, the editor-in-chief of The Australian, just really fell out of love with Kevin Rudd. And I always, you know, privately think when the first news poll appears and the news poll is comparing the incumbent Labor leader, not with Liberals but with other Labor people, that's when you know they've fallen out of love. And I think that happened probably a year or 15 months ago when the first kind of preferred Kevin Rudd, Julia Gillard poll started appearing, and I thought the clock is definitely ticking here for Kevin Rudd. And I recount in the book that I bumped into Kevin Rudd about 4 months ago on the Sunshine Coast. And I really did feel tempted to say to him, I think News Limited bought us both undone, but I didn't. But I guess that is my firm belief.
Okay, and Bruce Guthrie, just finally, now you're writing books. Are you finished with the newspaper business?
Well, who knows, Fran? I mean, one of the joys of writing the book is that I've rediscovered writing and I enjoy it. So I'll probably end up doing a bit more writing, but I suspect it won't be for News Limited.
I'm certain it won't be. I'll put money on that. Thanks very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Bruce Guthrie is the former editor of the Melbourne Herald Sun. He successfully sued News Limited this year for wrongful dismissal, a saga he retells in his book Man Bites Murdoch, 4 decades in print, 6 days in court, published this week by Melbourne University Press. It's 8:17.